Thank you. 2 Corinthians 4:15-18. I'm going to read the King James Version first, and then I'll read the New Living Translation. And it says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen, what? Are eternal." Amen. The New Living Translation says it like this: "All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. Yes. And God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day." Oh, somebody got delivered right there. "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. "For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." They're gonna last forever. The things we can't see last forever. And we just have God has a word for us today. And it just says, for your benefit. For your benefit. For your benefit, for your benefit, for your benefit. Now let me just ask the question and see who will be willing to be honest up in here today. When I say for your benefit, what thought hits your mind? For your benefit, what thought hits your mind? Is it for you? It's for you, right? It's for you. But what if I told you it ain't for you? That's not spoken in the personal sense, that for your benefit, for my benefit. It's spoken that it's for somebody else's benefit. See, the world is so full of "for me," but God is not for me, it's for you. So it's for your benefit. And I just want to clarify that before we get going, because I want you to hear what thus said the Lord. And I had to ask the question myself. For your benefit. Okay, God, thank you for blessing me. And all I was thinking was for my benefit. And he said, it ain't for your benefit. Say, what did my son say? He said, I came to do the will of my father. It wasn't for his benefit. Y'all realize all that Jesus did wasn't for him? It wasn't even for you. It was for his father. He wanted his children back home. He wanted what he created to come back to him. He wanted all that he had put in place to what? Worship him. So he had to make a way for that to happen. Now, he make it look like it's for us. Oh, I listen to the testimonies, and they're awesome. But you know what they do? They give God glory. And if we're not careful, we take the glory. And if we take the glory, we're in the wrong place. We ought to give glory to God. Oh, somebody remember that old song? Give glory to God, saints. Give glory to God. He's worthy of the praise, saints. Give glory. Y'all too young. I'm dating myself. I got that old-fashioned music thing going on, but that's all right, because the old music and the new music and the future music all point to God. I'm okay with it. I'm going to say, for your benefit, for your benefit, for your benefit. Now, y'all know we've been talking about God and how God is doing. And so every now and then we know that if we winning is believing, if we believe in Christ, what? We win. We are not defeated. No cancer, no doubt, no unemployment. Nothing will defeat us. Nothing will defeat us. Nothing will defeat us. What? It's time for a checkup. We need to understand what he taught to the children of Israel in the book of Isaiah. He said, what? You're wondering why things don't happen when you're fasting and you're praying and nothing seems to happen. He said, because you're fasting and praying because you're trying to get your own benefit and you're not fasting and praying. What? Trying to get close to me. But see, if we get close to God, things happen. Sunday school. Y'all ought to come to Sunday school sometime or at least get a book and read it home. This morning's Sunday school lesson was about the prodigal son. The prodigal son. He said what? He went, he got, he demanded, he did, then he had to come back home. Why? Because he had done it all wrong. But what it really told me is that no matter how far he went, his father still kept looking for him. He still kept looking for him. And that's what God is doing for us. He's still looking for us. When we get full of ourselves and we do our thing, God don't stop looking for us. He's still got a handout. He's still waiting. He's still hoping. He's still praying that what? One day they'll realize they're complete and come back to me. That's what the Father said. And I can't make this stuff up, how it lines up. But today, for your benefit, for your benefit. And we just got 3 points, and we're going to be up and out of here today. For your benefit. Point number one, is for your benefit. It's in 2 Corinthians 4:15. I'm going to read both. It says, for all things are what? For your sakes. That the abundant grace might what? Through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. He said, all of this in the New Living, he said, and all this is for your benefit. Now, this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. This church that what? Had started and got off track. But then they sort of got back on track. And Paul said, I need you to understand this thing to another level. All of this is for your benefit. But Paul wasn't talking about just for them. He's talking about that the benefit is for God. That as you glorify God, more and more power, more and more blessings will come your way. As you give glory to God, as you surrender to God, that's what makes it for your benefit. Because the word says that when we get there, the more we give thanksgiving and power and praise to God, the more that it means for us. Because this is not about us. I'm not spreading my name. We're not spreading Destiny Church name. We're spreading the name of I don't care if they never see my face. I don't care if they never know the name of the church. They walk in, but if they see God, then it's for God's glory. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He said, look, this thing will abound. It'll be abundant grace. It'll be more than you could think of. Next slide, Sister Beverly. If you don't believe me, let's look at what the words mean. First, the word benefit is what? It's an advantage or profit gain from something. That's the noun version. It says something that produces good or helpful results or effects or that promotes well-being. That's the noun. We like the nouns because they're tangibles. See, but then there's a definition that says to be useful or profitable to. And that's a verb. And y'all know what verbs are, don't you? They're actually, oh, thank you, somebody. Thank you, somebody. That means that if it's a verb, you got to do something. That means if a noun, I can stand still and receive. But as a verb, you got to do something. So in the scripture, in this verse, in this 15th verse, it says what? For all things are for your sakes. I mean, it's for your benefit that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of what? Many redound. And I don't think that many people know what that word redound means. Well, let me tell you. Redound is the parousio. It says to become swollen. It means to overflow. Let me break that down. It means to what? To be in excess, to cause to superabound, better, to exceed. So he's saying here that way, if the thanksgiving that you give, it may abound. It may be to the glory of God. Then it may overflow. It may what? Exceed. It may superabound. It may do more than anything. You come up here and give a little bit of thanksgiving. God takes that little bit and multiplies it. So when you thanksgiving and you give thanks and you give thanks, all of a sudden God just gets swollen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. God just swells up. It's like the river that could rise on the side of the road when, or on the side of the bank when all of a sudden nothing's going on. Then all of the waves come the wind and the river just swells up. That's how God is. When we give God thanks, he swells up. Why does he swell? Because he's happy. Our thanksgiving, our thankfulness, no matter what we go through, makes God happy. And when God gets happy, he just what? He just showers down his blessing. Y'all don't get it. You give God thanks and praise and watch God shower down all the things that you've been wanting. We get it backwards. Oh, I want this, that, and the other, and we don't give God thanks for anything because we did it on us. I went to work and I got it. I went over here and I got it. Oh, God, child, don't you know? They gave me that car and gave me the keys and my credit, all that. That was good stuff. But if you think that's good, give God thanksgiving. And watch somebody here, you know, you've been serving, you've been going through, you've been laboring, and nobody remembers you, but you still give God thanks and praise. And because you're giving thanks and praise, God keeps blessing you more abundantly. I know what I'm talking about. I give God thanks and I watch what he does. I I got a testimony from this week. Y'all know I've been hunting for jobs, and I've been going through, and see, like, when I have 2 and 3 and 4 interviews, I get there, and then I get this letter. We went in another direction, and we went in another direction, and we went in another. I still give God thanks. Still give God thanks. He said, go to work for Amazon. I give God thanks. I give God, I thank him every day. I put on some clothes. Now, I know why I was there to people, but I also know you did it for me. Say, because I'm looking better. I'm feeling better. I'm a little bit healthier. And this week, he sent me down somewhere. I was like, I really don't know. But they wanted to see me in person. They didn't want to talk on the phone. So I went down in person. And I walked out 20 minutes later. But God was already up to something. Because when I walked in the building and I punched the elevator button, a man walked in. He said, oh, you're going to the 15th floor. He said, yeah. He said, you must be Freddie. And I said, yes, I am. You must be Brandon. He said, yes, I am. You early. I said, that's the way I roll. So we went up and we chatted, and 15 minutes later, he said, you call me tomorrow. And, you know, we had a good dialogue, a good exchange. He said, you call me tomorrow. And God explained some things in our conversation that lined up. Who would think I would go meet a man in Oak Brook that I had never met before that lived in Colorado Springs, got a Colorado Springs phone number, was born in the city I live in. Graduated from the same school my daughter graduated from. Who would have thunk it, right? Nobody, not me, but there we were. So then I called him the next day. He said, I want you to come work for me. So I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't look at what I thought I was going to be doing. I didn't look at that. This don't line up. This don't match up. This ain't where I came from. This is taking me way back to where I started from. He said, it didn't matter. He said, come to work for me. So I'm going to work for him. But then let me tell you what my joy, because I gave God thanks. He said, well, come, can you come see me today? I want to give you something. I looked at myself and said, okay, I'll see you at 2:30. I walk in. There's another guy who just got hired there, and he's exchanged some pleasantries. He said, I just want to let you know, you ain't my first preacher. And God just gave God thanks. Because now I know that there's at least one somebody else there that loves Jesus. So I'm going to be in the company of somebody else that loves the Lord. And guess what? They ain't afraid to tell it because he telling it. He knew I was a preacher because I told him. I said, this is what I do every day. He said, now I got two of y'all. Said, thank you, Lord. Y'all don't see the power in that. I'm giving God glory because guess what? God is creating something to do something. That guess what? I know I got somebody else fighting against the enemy every single day. So when I get in my car and I drive over the highways and I walk in somebody's house and I'm there to talk to them, I know there's one somebody else. There might be more, but I know there's at least one somebody else that's taking up the name of Jesus to fight this battle along with me. So all of a sudden, I got strength, I got more joy, I got more hope, I got more peace because I'm not alone. My God. How many of y'all want somebody else who love the Lord to work where you work? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I say thank you, Jesus, for God's benefit. So we look at this redound, it says to become swollen. That's what the Greek word means, to overflow. And in Merriam-Webster said to be in excess, to cause to superabound, better, to exceed. So God says that what? It's for your benefit, but it's not you personally. It's for what you give to God. And when we give it to God, God will just superabound. God will super exceed. God will overflow. That's why David said what? My cup runneth over, because he knew who God was. He knew that God would do it over and over and over. How many of you know what God has done in your life? He's healed you from cancer. He's given you a job. He's healed you from this disease and that disease. He saved your children. He brought you out of that crazy place that you used to be and brought you back home. Look at it. Look at it. It don't stop there. We see all this craziness in the world, and that's what we keep looking at. I would love to tell people, just turn off your TVs. Just close your eyes and be as a blind person. So all you can do is hear. Because what we see creates doubt. What we see creates confusion. What we see creates fear. What we see causes us not to see what God is and who God is and where God is and how God operates. but it's for your benefit. See, so I hope you see that differently now. Everybody's been trying to tell us for years, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. Rick Warren made millions of dollars. It ain't about you. He said, take this journey with me for 30 days. How many of y'all know that Rick Warren was not the first one to write a book to say, take a journey for 30 days? Do y'all believe that? Have you ever read anything from somebody who said, take a 30-day journey? Oh, I don't want to mess with you, but I'm going to mess with somebody today. I want you to understand that I can go back. I can go back to a written book written by a man that I was never supposed to read anything from because he was from South Africa, and I grew up rebellious. If you were from South Africa and you were white, I didn't want to listen to you. Had nothing to do with you because of apartheid. But somebody gave me a book, and for some reason I didn't read who the author was. But I read the book, and it turned me upside down and inside out, and it changed my life. And then I read who the author was. I said, oh, my God. He said, see, son, I can use anybody and change your life. But Andrew Murray wrote a book called Waiting on God in the 1800s, y'all. 30 days, spend a day just waiting on God. The scripture's talking about waiting. Why? Because we need to be patient waiting on God. He wrote a book, and then after he went through waiting on God, he said, now you'll understand what surrendering to God is all about. Yeah. He didn't make the mega millions because folks didn't want to hear that attitude. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about what I get and what I want, but it was about you waiting on God. Yeah. And the only thing you need to know, this man traveled the world. He went to Russia and brought converts to Russia. Why? Because he talked about waiting on God. He talked about surrender. He said, the thing that we need most is absolute surrender to God. For your benefit, God, not for mine. For your benefit, God, not for my house, not for my car, not for my money. Not that I can put my chest out and see how wonderful and awesome I am. And I'm not saying those are bad things. We work hard to get where we got. We put in some blood, sweat, tears. But God surrendered his blood. God shed his blood that we might have the victory to even be in our right mind. Every single day, we ought to give thanksgiving to God. Now, if you don't understand this, I hope you see some of your parents or some of your parents' friends, how their mind is wonderful today, and today, now, they can't be wonderful. I wish you knew my daddy when he was younger. He counted figures, counted, and even to this day, he don't remember phone numbers by going to his phone. He thinks for a minute, and he calls out the number. Forget that programming phone. I know the number. He used to do it in 30 seconds. Now it's taking 3 to 4 minutes. But that's okay. He still got it in there. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. But I can't say that he's the same man in his mind, because if I look at the physical part, it don't look the same. It don't act the same. Don't. But when I think about who God is and God is in him, it's still the same. Yeah. He's still a man that loves God. He's still a man that loves you. He's still a man that's going to encourage you. He get on his phone and he talk real slow and he call up a young man. He said, well, did you do this today? Did you help your mama today? Did you fix her meal? And I'm sitting there going, boy, daddy never talked. He's still talking to somebody about what God told you to do. But it's for your benefit, God. Say, whatever you want to do with me, God, you can do it. If today's my day, I'm ready to go. How many of y'all ready to go if God called you today? I thank you for your hands, because I see some of the rest of y'all going, I don't think so. But can I tell you the truth? I'm ready. Whenever God wants me, that means, but I'm going to work until it's over. I ain't trying to predict it. I ain't trying to understand that day. I'm just going to work, and when he says over, it's over. Now, I didn't give you my synonyms, but it says what? If you look at the verb, it's an advantage, it's to avail, it's to help, it's to profit, it's to serve. They're different than the synonyms for the noun. To advantage, aid, asset, boon, help. Notice it in the verb form, it says what? Profit and to serve. To serve, it's an action. So we realize this for your benefit. For your benefit. Paul was saying that y'all just went through some things. He said, all those things you went through were for your benefit. Because as you praise God and give God thanksgiving through those things, God's just going to overflow. How many of you want God to overflow? Just stop looking at your situation. Stop complaining at your situation and count it all a joy as you walk into what? The will of the Father. And I don't want you just to believe me. I don't want you just to believe me. We're going to go what the word says, right? Look at what it says. Next slide, Sister Bell. He said, what? How is it my benefit? First thing, you know that you are what? Called for a purpose, right? That's in Romans, right? You know that. So y'all know that scripture, don't you? And all things what? Work together for good to them that what? Love God and what? To them that are what? Called according what? To his purpose. Our purpose that Jesus called us is not our own. You don't have to stop there. Next slide. What? It's my benefit because it's promised. God promised us protection. If you go to Psalms 34:19, it says, many are the afflictions of, many are the what? Afflictions of the righteous. Many are what? The afflictions of the righteous. Many, not one, two, three. It says many. Many could be a whole great. How many of you got many afflictions in your life? Come on, somebody testify. You got all kind of stuff going on. Family stuff, health stuff, job stuff, kids stuff. You got neighbor stuff. You got dog stuff. You got all kind of stuff going on. Say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but look what it says. But the Lord delivered him what? Out of them all. Go home and mark that down, 34:19. When you get weary, say, I know God promised to bring me through. He brought you through that school thing. He brought you through that job thing. He brought you through that medical thing. He brought you through fire. He brought you through storm. He brought you when you can't stand. God does it all. He said, many are the afflictions. Didn't he say one, two, three? Many is an unlimited number. But way back in the beginning, the psalmist said, but what? But the Lord, the Lord, not me, not my friends, not my bank account, but the Lord, what? Delivers us, what? Out of them all, not one or two, but all of them. So when you want to know why, you can be bold and brave and stand for God, because he said, I'll deliver you through all of them. So promise what? Rest in adversity. Say, you ain't got to get tired. You know, the words that don't be weary in well-doing. Well, that wasn't the beginning. Go back to Psalms 94:12 and 13 says, blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teaches him out of thy law. Thou mayest give him what? Rest for the days of adversity. Say, we know they're coming, so I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you strength. That's why we're singing that song, by the hands of the Almighty, because God gave it to us. He gives us our joy, our hope, our peace and our strength. What? In the days of adversity, what? Till the pit be digged from the wicked. Until God comes back and gives judgment to the wicked, we ain't got to worry. We just got to what? Say, for your benefit, God, I'll suffer if you want me to suffer. I'll go through if you want me to go through. I'll keep doing what you want me to do. But God, I'm never going to give up. Because you promised it to me, Lord God. You promised it. And then the next slide, the next one, Sister Beverly said, what? We're blessed to be a blessing. That's our motto right here. We're blessed, what? To be a blessing. We got to do something. We got to act somewhere. We got to go somewhere. That's in 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. He said, what? Blessed by God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, what? Of mercy, the God of what? Comfort, who comforted us, what? In all our tribulations. So we ought to bring comfort to somebody so that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. We are comforted so we can comfort. We're not comforted to say, I'm doing all right. We're comforted to go do something for somebody else. Say what? For as the sufferings, what? Of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. Say, we're suffering for Christ's sake. That's okay, but our comfort abounds. Here we go again. That abound, it overflows. It's redound, y'all. That's the same thing. I mean, it's more and more and more. Our comfort outweighs our suffering. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm suffering. That means I got some comfort on the way. Lord, you got me down right now. They using and abusing me. They laughing at me. They doing everything. But oh, God, guess what? I got the victory because we going to shout the praise when we see your face. So do what you do. I don't care because you can't stop me. You can't hold me down. He can't hold you down. He can't stop you because we're victorious. That's why when we walk down the street, things happen. That's why when we go to work, things happen. That's why when they say you no good, nobody, they just don't know what they're doing. Lord, spare them what they got coming. I hope that my way I live, I hope that the love I show will help them change their mind to love you so they don't have to stand before you into judgment. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. The second thing we understand today is that it's really for God's benefit. It's for God's benefit. It's here in the scripture. Look at verses 16 and 17. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us what a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Meaning glory is given to God. That's in the New Living. He says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. This body is getting old. Can y'all run as fast as you used to run? Can y'all walk as fast as you used to walk? Can you dance as long as you used to dance? I'm just being real. Can you talk as much as you used to talk? Can you remember what you used to remember? Can you do the things you used to do? No, you can't. What? Because the body is wearing old. See, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. This is the mystery of God. When we were younger, we thought we were invincible. But as we get older, we know who is invincible, and that's who we trust. I know now why the old folks used to say, just wait on Jesus, baby. Just wait on Jesus. Why? Because they had gotten weary in the physical, but their spirits have been renewed over and over. And the longer your spirit is renewed, the stronger you get so that you can abound, you can redound, so what? It can overflow. That's why when we get older, we can't get impatient with our young people. Why? Because now we got more wisdom and understanding than we ever had before. Just come on, baby. Just wait right here. Let's just talk to God about it. Don't you worry. Don't get uncertain. Just stay where you need to be. God's got you. But when we're younger, that's that old folk conversation. Can I tell y'all something? I used to have an attitude. I am sick and tired of old people trying to tell me about God. I see some of the things they doing. What do they know? They ain't been out here and the world ain't been like this. Can I tell y'all something? The young people today are sick and tired of us telling them what to do. Y'all don't know technology. Y'all don't know nothing about the computer. Y'all don't know nothing about Instagram and all Snapchat and all that. No, I don't, baby. But here's what I know. When you put your business out there on any of those platforms, you're going to get hurt. It's no different than gossiping across the fence with my neighbor. Man, did you see so-and-so's wife down there? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you see so-and-so's husband down there? You know, man, he ain't all be doing that. He ought not be drinking like that. And they never said nothing about God to nobody, but we just chat. That's the same thing that Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook keep doing. Yeah, it's got some good things to it. Yeah, when you talk to your neighbor across the fence and y'all talk about how can we get this young man and that young man to live their life better. Matter of fact, why don't you go today and I'll go the next day and let's talk to him and see if we can get them to come home sometime and not get caught by the gangbangers. We ain't doing enough talking about God, and we're doing too much looking at what the world doing, so nothing's changing. But we ought to know that even though our bodies get older, God has not changed. He changes not. So these things, even though they present themselves different, the results are still the same. I wasted my living on riotous. I wasted my money and my life on riotous living. I put my trust in this until you get hurt. And then you got to tell somebody where it hurts. And y'all know we don't want to tell anybody where it hurts, do we? Hallelujah. He said, but look at this, look at this. So it's for God's benefit, y'all. He said, we produce us for this glory, which vastly will outweigh them and will last forever. Only what you do for Christ will last. Yes. Get fired from a job. Let me make it even more plain. I got some friends who were real high corporate executives from some big companies. And one of my friends retired from a major insurance company. He retired. He put in 30 plus years. He retired. And you know what this instruction to him was? We ain't gonna see you around here. We don't wanna see your face. We don't wanna hear your name. If somebody dies that you know, we'll let you know. But other than that, don't come here. Now, understand this. When we retire from some places, when we're not real high up, we like to go back and visit, right? Hey, I remember when and yada, yada, yada. When you get up there, you can't come back because now you're interfering with the new direction. That's what the world is. When we get Jesus, we can't go back. Y'all hear me? When you get Jesus, you can't go back. Because now you're interfering. And when you're interfering with the devil's thing, he's going to attack you. He's going to wear you out. And if you go there and it ain't because Jesus sent you, you're going to get worn out. But if you go at the direction of Jesus, you can walk into the enemy's camp. And guess what? Can't nothing happen to you. You can walk up in there. You can say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you got to go. In the name of Jesus, loose my brother, loose my sister, loose my child. You can't have them because God's got them. But that's active, right? That's a verb. It will abound. And that brings God glory. Next slide, Sister Beverly. So what? How is it for God's benefit? Well, we maximize it. Look at what 2 Corinthians say. 2 Corinthians 3:3-11. It says, look at what it says here. He says, what? Turn the page, Mr. Rogers. Turn the page. Come on, enemy, the devil is a liar. Thank you. He says what? And I wrote to some of you the same. And I wrote 2 Corinthians 2. Ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna look that one up. That ain't on my paper. That's all right. It's right there. 2 Corinthians 3. Thank you, Jesus. 3-11. He says what? For as much as ye are manifest, declared to the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but what? With the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have what? Christ to God. We have a trust in God, not in a trust in the world. Say, that's for God's benefit, for God's glory. How do you do it? You give as God gave. In 2 Corinthians 8:1-2, he says what? And you can go all the way through 11 if you want, but 1-2 says, moreover, brethren, we do what? To wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church. He said, look at the grace that God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their lips. Even when they were going through, even when they were under, they still gave liberally to the church. Even though you're going through, you got to give of yourself liberty. Even though you got health issues, even though you got relationship issues, even though it seems like the world is stopping on you, you still got to give what? To the abundance of God. Yeah. And not only that, what? With thanksgiving. You got to be a cheerful giver. Yeah. And I ain't just talking about your money. Yeah. Talking about your sacrifice. Yeah. Well, I got to get up and pray this morning. Lord, you know, I ain't in nobody's house, am I? No, I'm just in my own house. Okay, God, it's 3 o'clock. Lord, why 3 o'clock in the morning? I just would, Lord, I don't even ask why no more. I can't even use the excuse. Well, you know, Lord, if I get out of bed, I'm going to wake up my wife and, you know, she's going to turn over and I ain't there. And then she's going to start wondering. God say, stop it. He said, stop it. I can ease in and out of bed. And she ain't even moved. That's God. When God tell me to get up, I get up and go. Now, I don't even say, well, but look, can it wait? I'm being real. Y'all know what waiting is. Well, God, I'll get around to you. Lord, you told me to get up and go to worship this morning. Lord, I really don't feel. Can I just have one day? Oh, God said, get up and go now. You need to be on time. And you, no, I ain't going to be. Oh, God, you know I need to leave my sipper. I'm reading a devotional. God, can it wait? I don't want to stop in the middle. God said, I'm all your devotional you need. So we need to stop making excuses. We do better say, God, I'm just not ready to do it today. Do with me what you got to do. Anybody want to try that one? Any brave souls? Come on. That's what I do these days. You know why? Because if I do that, then God does in me what he needs to do, and I just go right along willingly. He ain't going to hurt me. It ain't like the whippings we used to get. You know, I beg for those. Now get the switch. Yes, go ahead, because in 30 minutes it's over. When God get a hold of you, it ain't over like that. So what? There's obedience through blessings. Obedience brings blessings. 2 Corinthians 10, he says, but I beseech you that I may what? Not be bold when I am present with that confidence, when I think to be what? Bold against some. Which think of us what? If we walked according to the flesh, but though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare, what? Are not carnal, but what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When we go to battle, when we're active, we're pulling down strongholds. We are not going in there trying to say, well, let's have a few rounds of hand-to-hand combat. We are pulling down strongholds. Somebody's life is on the line. Somebody's, everything they think about is on the line. You're not warned against this physical body. They're bigger than you. They're stronger than you. They're faster than you. They got guns and you don't. They got knives and you don't know nothing about that. But guess what? When you walk and you war in the spiritual, God's got it covered and nothing they got will hurt you. I dare people to pull a gun on me when God sent me. You better hope the gun don't backfire because God sent me. Now, I ain't going out there being crazy. I'm out here on my own telling you, you better not shoot me. I'm ready to die. But when God sends me and God tells me ain't nothing you can do about it, I'm just like David. Surely this Philistine giant cannot defeat the God that I know. Surely my God who's with me, who covers me with his blood, who sits there at the Father, will not allow any of these strongholds to come against me that I will not win. It might knock me to my feet, might knock me off my feet, it might lay me flat on the ground, but in the name of Jesus, I will be victorious. That's what I'm talking about. When you get knocked down, don't give up. Just say, Jesus. When it comes after you, you think, I just can't do them. Just say, Jesus. Jesus. And when you get Jesus down pat and you trust and believe it, watch what happened. Thank you, Sister Susie. Y'all were talking and reminiscing, but the purpose was what? To pray about Jesus. And when you prayed about Jesus, he realized that, hey, I'll do it all right. Thank you, Lord, for providing. Thank you for making a way. Thank you, Lord, that I know one day I'm going to get home. I ain't got to see it. You're going to make it happen. Yes. That's God. It's for God's benefit. For your benefit is what we ought to be saying because it's for God's benefit. But then it tells us something, and this is where I hope you get the rest of the story. As Paul Harvey said, used to say in Illinois and Chicago on the radio, and now for the rest of the story. While I was in Detroit listening to a man from Chicago talk about the rest of the story, I have no idea. But when he said the rest of the story, it captured my attention. And I used to listen to him. And now Jesus is saying, now for the rest of the story. Point number three says, look at the right things. Look what it says in verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So look, and let me make it plain. So don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see, what, will last forever. You know that this body is soon going to be over, don't you? You know that you might live to 70, might live to 80, might 90, might be blessed to live to 100. Somebody might make 110. But in your logical mind, what you can see, what, one day we're going to leave here. But I don't know what you, my daddy says every day, I'm doing okay. I'm still in the land of the living. That's a prophetic testimony. My grandmama used to say, why? Because no matter when the body leaves here, she's still going to be in the land of the living. Why? Because she does not die. That's prophecy, y'all, from a little old lady that didn't know much, but she knew that what? I'm still in the land of the living. So when we look at the things of God and not the things of this world, we see differently. Yes. I challenge anybody. If you know your loved one was a Christian, yes, and they had accepted Jesus, change the way you look. And if you change the way you look, you'll be able to walk in peace and not walk in hurt. You'll be able to walk and say, yeah, I know I'm going to miss my mama and I'm going to miss my daddy. But you know something? It got no effect on me because they still in the land of the living. So we got to change the way we see things and look at things spiritual because the things of the world are temporal. They're temporal. It's a challenge. I ain't saying it easy, but I know it works. I know it works. What do you see? So what do you see today? I just got a quick next slide, Sister Mary. What do you see? Well, the first thing you need to see is what promises. God promises what? Our resurrection. That's in 2 Corinthians, right? Is there right there, 2 Corinthians. What, 4:13-14. It says what? We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore what have I spoken? We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he what, which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ, what, shall raise up what, also by Jesus, and what, shall present us with you. We know that Jesus was raised up, the same person, God, who raised him up, what, going to raise us up, what, in the name of Jesus. Not by yourself, not on your own, but Jesus going to raise. That's why I don't worry about this down here, because I'm going to be raised up. With a new life, with a new birth. You know what? We got victory over adversity, right? You know, go to 1 Corinthians 15:57. We say it all the time, but do we really believe in what we see? But thanks be, 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. But thanks be to God, what would give us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. There we go, abounding at abundance again, what? In the work of the Lord. For as much as you know what? That your labor, what? Is not in vain in the Lord. Wait, what you do for the Lord, it ain't in vain. It's going to change somebody's life. What you do for the Lord is going to help somebody. What you do for the Lord is going to encourage somebody. Yeah. What? To keep on keeping on. Thank you, ever got a phone call at just the right time? Mm-hmm. You were going through and you were just at wit's end and didn't know what to do. All of a sudden somebody called you. Amen. Y'all ever got any calls like that? Maybe I've gotten so many that I've got my corner on the market, but I've gotten some phone calls. And one of these phone calls came when I was at a pivotal time in life. I was about to make a life-altering decision. I was a senior in college, and I was just done. I was checking out. I made up my mind that I was not going to stay here in college no more. I had packed up my car, and I was just going to drive out west, some little small town, get a job, and live and be done with it. I wasn't calling mama or daddy or nobody till I got there and got settled and say, this is my new address. I was just that frustrated in my mind. And mind you now, I was going to Bible study. I was going to church. I was praying, but I was just under attack. And just when I went in to check to see if I forgot anything, my phone rang. We didn't have cell phones, so if I had not been back in the house to check to see if I left some, I never would have answered the phone. But because I went to check and make sure I didn't leave any, that was just my habit that my daddy taught me. You go through the house one last time before you leave. And I walked in, and all of a sudden the phone rang. Why did I pick up a phone when I didn't want to talk to nobody? But I picked up the phone. And my brother on the other end, this friend of mine, we were so close, he called me and said, Fred, I don't know what's going on, man, but something's wrong. I'm on my way over to see you. Amen. You know, the first thought was, I'm going to get my car, I ain't going to be here. But I said to him, okay. And he came to see about me. He looked at the car, and he looked at me, said, no, this ain't it. And we prayed. Amen. And I unpacked my car, and I kept going. And I'm still going because Jesus. Yes. Not because of me, but Jesus. So he gives us this victory, this victory. What do you see? What do you see? Well, you need to see that there's a victory praise. You know what the victory praise is, don't you? Go to Revelation 7, 11, and 12. We need to see ourselves praising God when it's time to praise God up there. Say, when the angel stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying what? Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. How many of you have seen yourself around the throne? You know the rest of that scripture say, who are they? Say, these are they what have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you see yourself up in heaven around the throne of God that God declares this is who you are? The angels couldn't tell you who it was. The elders couldn't tell you. But Jesus himself said, these are they. You are one of those. If you've been washed in the blood, you believe they've been washed in the blood. You came through tribulation. You came through trial. But you are victorious and you got your role. You need to see that sometime because that's the only thing that would encourage you to hold on. Because if I look at what I see and I look at what's in front of me, it don't make no sense. But when I know that God's got it and he will not let me fail, then I can hold on to his promise. A promise that can't be broken. And then you need to see one other thing. We talk about all these prophetic things and all these prophecies. We need to see the right things. The next it says what? The judgment praise. Revelation 19, 1 through 7, he says, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and have avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down, worship God that sat on the throne, and said, Amen, Hallelujah. Not Hallelujah, it was Hallelujah. That's what the word said. And a voice came from the throne and said, Praise our God, all ye saints, ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude. You need to see that you in the great multitude. Why are they shouting? Why? Because they're not going to be judged, because they already been saved. And I don't know about you, but I ain't got to be judged by the things I've done wrong, but I'm going to be able to praise my God, because at judgment day, I'm all right. Do you get that? Did you done messed up, been jacked up, been all over the place, but because the blood covers you, you can say Hallelujah, because you ain't going to be judged when he's judging all those that refuse to bow, when he's judging all those that are blasphemy against his name, when he's judging all those that don't want to be with him. He said, yes, there's a judgment, and you're on your way to the lake of fire to be in torment, but Hallelujah, God, salvation and glory. Thank you, Father God, that I'm going to be with you. Thank you, Father God, I can sing my praise. Thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against me. Thank you, Father God. Once again and again, you brought me back. Thank you, Father God. My God. See, we want to worship and praise, but we never look to what the end is. The end is what keeps us worshiping and praising down here. Because I guarantee you, if you're hurting a little bit, your praise ain't quite the same. That's just the way we look in the natural. But I don't care what I might feel and how I might hurt. I got to praise my God, for once again, God did it. He did it. He did it. Next slide, Sister Beverly. I got a question. I got a question for you. What do you see? 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 Anybody? You see Jesus. Anybody else see something different? Does everybody see Jesus? No, you don't. I know everybody don't see him, because I understand how these things work. You see some branches, you see some signs, you say, but there's Jesus. See, and the reason I put this up, because this is one of those trickery things where you might see purple or green, depending on how your eyesight is, when they've been putting all over the internet, but there's Jesus up there, right? So in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your tribulation, you need to see Jesus. I don't care what the enemy covers up. I don't care how he rearranges the sticks. I don't care how he rearranges the letter. I don't care if he turns from red to purple or black or blue. I don't care what they do. You need to have a fixated eye that all you ever see is Jesus. They can put apostles, they can put gold, they can put millions up there, but I still only see Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the ruler, Jesus is the controller. My God. That's all we got to see. Now I got a testimony here. Not mine, but I gotta tell you. This poster hung in a lady's Sunday school class for years. She taught sixth and seventh graders. It hung there for years. Sunday school class. She never saw what it said. It was there. It was somebody else's sign. But she didn't see Jesus in it. And then one day, she happened to be there. And she turned around. It says Jesus. Anybody have had that moment? In the midst of your trial, in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your Peter moment, where God called you out to walk on the water, and you looked away because you didn't see Jesus. Do you see Jesus today? Do you see that Jesus has your back? Jesus has your front? He's got your up and your down. Do you see that Jesus is calling you to do what he wants you to do so that you give him glory? What does that look like for you? It might be taking care of your family. It might be taking care of someone you don't even know. It might be praying for somebody that hates you. It might be forgiving somebody that has abused you. It might be saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. Lord, help change. Lord, do with me as you please. It ain't possible if you don't see Jesus. Now, some are still going to wonder, I don't see it. I don't get 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 it. If you don't get it, you don't see it, let me know. I'll give you a copy. And if you trace the blank spaces, it'll show up. But it doesn't matter what you see in this poster. This is just an illustration. Yeah. It's what you see when you look. Psalmist said, I will look into the hills, what? Which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. So are you looking to the hill, which is Jesus? They said on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame. So that's, but I love that old cross. Why would you love a cross that killed your Savior? Why would you love a cross that brought shame to your Savior? Why would you want to remember that old cross? Well, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, that what? Death, where is your sting? Sting, oh, where is your grave? Why? For he brought the victory through that old cross for the world to see. You know? Whew. Prophetic, right? The sun is going to shine if I hold out. Jesus held out, and the sun is still shining. Died on a rugged cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, left the borrowed clothes, and has been shining ever since. Do you know him? Is there anybody in here who does not know Jesus as your personal Savior? You don't have to raise your hand. Just look up at me if you do not know him. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus, we're praying that you would receive the love from Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you know Jesus and you're looking for a church home, a place of worship, we're praying for you that you would follow the Spirit. No, I'm not so selfish to say I want you here at Destiny. I want you to be where God wants you. Well, we love to have you. We're a family that love God, worship God, and just enjoy God. But I'm praying that you be where he wants you to be. Because there's a destiny, there's a date, and there's a place for you to be. If it's here and you know that, we invite you to come today. If it's not, we're just continuing to pray that he plants you. What I do know is he wants you somewhere. So you can come with the assembly of the saints. So as we worship and praise the Lord, we are strengthened and encouraged to go out and do what God has us to do. Amen? Is there one? All I'm standing in need of prayer. When I call me, Lord, I knew you were there. Reach your hand down from heaven and pull me through. This. Is there another? All I need is a touch, not from the master's hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All I pray, church, just pray. Don't try to figure it out. Just pray. Lord, let your spirit move. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You touch me, Jesus. We thank you. If you touch me. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Take my wrongs and victory rides only through the blood of Jesus. All I need, all you need, all we need is a touch from you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. A touch. And you're coming today.
I need your touch tonight.
Touch me.
Your unchanging hand.
Touch me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're thankful to the Lord that you'll stand. And I'm going to ask the question, because you just got to declare for yourself. You believe in Jesus.
Absolutely.
And you believe today you want to come back and reunite with destiny.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 You know you can always go home, right? That's what they say. And I'm just excited and delighted today. As Minister Lisa said, the Lord is leading her back here. You know, he sent her to do some work somewhere else, and now he's sending her back here. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anything you want to say? Now, y'all know that's something, right? She ain't to say something about Jesus, but right now she said nothing right now. Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. We're embracing you. I just have to say thank you, Lord, because she's been my daughter, and I've talked with her ever since she left. We pray, we talk, we communicate. You know, it didn't matter if she wasn't here. It's what? It's in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we watch what God is doing. Now, is Isaiah coming too, or is he? And Joseph. Well, Joseph, well, you don't want to come back? That's all right. Mama said you're coming anyway, so amen, you're here. Okay, but we're going to ask you questions at the right time. So, all right, all right. And I know Brother Joseph's got a knee thing going on back there. But is this your desire, Brother Joseph, to come back? Because you got to speak for yourself. I know you got to go where Mama take you, but you got to speak for yourself. Is it your desire to come back and be a member here at Destiny?
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Welcome home. Welcome back. Is it your desire to be back too?
No.
Okay. No, Joseph being Joseph, that's all right. One day he going to say yes. You know, that's a conversation between him and Mama. I'll leave that one alone. Amen. Y'all understand. But we're glad to have you, and you come back and have all rights and privileges as any other member. Amen. Come in and be diligent to do what God has for you to do. Amen. The church said. Amen, amen, amen. We thank the Lord for blessing us and sending them back. And we know God has been doing a work. God continues to do a great work. Amen. It's time for our tithes and offering. And as we take our tithes and offering, the last thing we're going to do today is pray. The Lord says we're going to pray as we're walking out today. We're going to do our tithes and offering, and then we're going to gather and pray and walk out together. When we leave this place, I don't know why he's saying doing it this way. I just be obedient. So that's all I can do. Hallelujah. Sister Naomi has the love offering. Sister Jerry has the tithes and offering. As we come and give as the Lord has prospered you. Amen.
Your child, the enemy came up against your land. The enemy came up against your
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for what you have provided. We thank you for this offering, and we pray that you press it down and multiply that it may abound, Father God, as we give you glory. Thank you, Lord, that it will be used to spread the word of the gospel throughout the land and country and even the world. And the people of God said, amen, amen, amen. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful today. I'm thankful today that we've been able to walk in the power. Ariana's in the District of Columbia, and we did a Dominican Republic, excuse me, and we did our part, Destiny. I thank you for those who put stuff, money in her hand to support.
You are Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Say, you are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
To be willing to fight on our knees. And so he told Timothy, what? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before what? Many would say, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth what? All things. And before what? Christ Jesus, before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He told the truth. Pontius Pilate said, you art thou. And Jesus said, none. He said, you see it. I don't have to say who I am. Hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I don't have to run around saying I love God. People know I love God. But just the way I love them and I love my and I conduct myself. And we respect one another. So I said, what? We need to be willing to fight. He said, what? Which is his times he hath shown, who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. What? Christ is the only one who has immortality. He's the only one that's gotten up from the grave. He's the only one who has raised folks from the dead. He's the only one that's done these things. Everybody else ain't done it. So we ain't got to argue. You know, one of the things I told you when we were shucking, we got the Muslims and we got Shiites and we got Christians and Catholics and Lutheran and Methodists and all kind of beliefs. The one thing we all came to the table and said, our God talks about peace. So if all of our gods talk about peace and we're in that place, why can't we get along? Somebody said, well, you ought to be in there trying to convert them. No, I ought to live in the love of Jesus Christ, and Christ will do the conversion. It ain't for me to hammer with nobody. So what? To live it. And so every day when I see us and we're living it and we're talking about it and we're praying about it, I see God doing things. I get excited. I get excited. I get excited. So what do we have to do? The next thing is we got to be willing to be obedient. In 1 Peter, it says what? 1 Peter 1, 13, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace what that is brought unto you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. So what? As obedient children, not fashion yourself according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as what? He which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. Uh-oh. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, maybe this ain't your story, but if you grew up in a house with a parent, if you grew in a house with a parent, and I emphasize parent, you couldn't do or say anything. Right. If you didn't follow mama or daddy or whoever was in charge of you rules, there was a consequence. I saw a joke the other day say, if you want to be a parent, you got to learn the looks. And I said, oh, there's something to that. Why didn't you tell me that earlier? But it was natural. God has some looks. But his looks not like our parents look. God looks and says, come here, my child. Come unto me. And what? I will give you rest. Come unto me and tell me all about it. And I can remember my mama used to be the one when I wanted to tell her how I felt. I was feeling. I'd go lay my head on my mama's shoulder, but I couldn't lay my head on my dad. My dad said, son, get up and go do what you got to do. But now things have switched. When I go home, my daddy's 82, 83 years old, and when I go home and I talk to him, he said, son, it's just like this. And I'm like, what happened to this hard man that used to be there that now he's become soft and compassionate? And what he changed as God changed within him to help him see that, you know, this was one phase, but now this is another phase. What? Now he emulates God. He said, just lay it on my shoulder. Just tell me about it, son. It's okay. He said, but God will fix it. God will fix it. Every time I talk to him, say, it's going to be all right. God will fix it. God will fix it. You're going to be all right. If you ain't going to be all right, we got you. Your brother got you. Your sister got you. Whoever needs, we got you. God's got you. It's going to be okay. That's what God is saying to us today. We need to be willing to be obedient to God. So then the next point today, if there's a question, and this is only for you. It's only for you. I can't answer for you. You can't answer for nobody else. Who's hurting you? Sorry, what's hurting you? I said who? What's hurting you? What's hurting you? What's hurting you? In Matthew 11, 28, in the second part of the verse, it says, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are what? Weary and carry heavy burdens. What? That's hurting. Anybody getting weary? My brother said, what? It's been a year. It's been almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years come August for me. I went through a period of 3 years. Yeah, we get hurting. We get weary. We get to struggling. We get to questioning who are you and why me and all those things. Those things in your head. Don't think because you're a pastor or you know Christ that this never. Those are the real temptations of life. But we tell God about it, right? And when we tell God what's hurting us, we realize that those things come from a place for some of us, a place of sin. For some, a place where God puts you because he's got a bigger blessing for you to help somebody else. One of the things that just came profound on me that I didn't understand what I was getting into when God told me to do his will, sometimes you can't connect to somebody if you ain't in the place they are. You know, it's hard for a rich, wealthy person to talk to a person that ain't got nothing and understand what they're going through unless they came from that place. But there's something about when you do all right, you can lose sight of where you are. Hey, I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. But sometimes God sends you to places so that he can still connect to his people. Yeah, you know, one of the things I say about homeless, and I tell you all the time, we got to get to a place if we're going to walk in God's love, you got to be willing to walk up there and hug a homeless person. Oh, yeah, y'all hear me say, you say, Pastor, that might be for you. I ain't doing it. And y'all respectful. Y'all don't tell me. That's okay. I'm not asking you to tell me. You got to ask God for yourself. But if somebody walked in here that was homeless and they were stinking, or I could say stinking, and their clothes were raggedy, we fellowship, will you hug them? Will you make them feel at ease and at peace? Will you make, no matter how the smell might be, you might be walking down the street and this might be life-changing for them. A hug might make them not do what they were thinking about doing, and you are the only one between them and God. And we got to be willing to meet them where they are. Next slide, Sister Beverly. So what? Understanding the source of our hurt. Well, God says there's six things in Proverbs. What? What did he say in Proverbs? There's six things that God hates. Some of these things are our problems come from there. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sow discord among the brethren. God don't lie. And some of us fall into some of those categories. No, you ain't no killer. No, you ain't trying to shed no innocent blood. But some of us get caught up, and this is where Facebook come in. We be showing some discord among the brethren because we be passing on stuff that ain't real. We don't know it ain't real, but we do it anyway because it came from somebody that I trust. Or better yet, it ain't Facebook. Let me leave Facebook alone. How about that telephone? Because, you know, we don't stand across the fences no more. We don't sit on the porches no more. When I was growing up, we used to all sit on the porch, and when you walk down the street, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, we had to run down the back alley if we wanted to do something wrong, because if somebody saw you on the street, you got in trouble. And don't let the street lights catch you, because that meant darkness, and what the things that are done in the dark will one day come to light. Well, guess what? Our life and our walk, there's darkness that lurks around us that's trying to come to light. And when we don't walk in this love, we help bring it to light. Look at the situation. None of us want to be afraid, right? Anybody want to walk around and live scared? I don't, and so I refuse. But every time something happens, that a mosque or somewhere else or somebody gets shot up, all of a sudden the folks who are supposed to trust God, they get scared. They're locking the doors of the church. You can't come in here unless I look at you and let you in. Jesus said, I'm going to lock you out until I know who you are. We start to live in fear in our neighborhoods, you know, in our neighborhoods. You know, I'm talking to this lady on Friday about this job, and they only serve affluent neighborhoods. And what they do is they create publications for these neighborhoods. They go in, you get the advertising, they do a printed publication. And she said she was happy to all these neighborhoods, you know, $450,000, $675,000, million-dollar homes. They don't go to the regular neighborhood. Those are the neighborhoods. She said, and you go in and you got to meet the people and get them to share your story. And she said, is there any reason you can't do this? And I said, well, what neighborhoods are you talking? Well, I ain't sure. I said, well, until you give me that, I can't answer that. Say, because she said, well, why? Because I said, because there's some objections that I'm going to run into that you wouldn't run into. Right. She said, well, I never run into anything. I said, yeah, you ain't a black man. Right. And one of the neighborhoods was Hawthorne Woods Country Club. And here I am going to be walking around Hawthorne Woods Country Club in these $600,000 homes getting them to trust me to write a publication about your family. Right. But it's not that hard if you know how to sell. That ain't got nothing to do with selling. That's got to do with the fear of our country. And right now, today, is worse than it used to be. If you had told me this 4 years ago, I would have walked proudly. But today, if I don't put a MAGA hat on and then do it so they think I'm one of them, there's no way I'm walking around Hawthorne Wood Country Club getting families to tell me their life story. So guess what? That ain't a job for me. God said, that ain't for you. But we have to understand that in life. The next thing that happens, the reason we don't be successful because we don't know what's hurting us, and the hurt stays because of what? Our unbelief. In Matthew 17 and 18, the disciples said, wait a minute. They wanted to go do what Jesus told them they can do. They came and said, what? We weren't successful. Why didn't it happen? He said, what? Because of your unbelief. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Why could they not have impact on these people that were, what, filled with the demons? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible. We have to have faith and believe what Jesus the Christ has said if we expect to impact this world. Amen. I told him on Tuesday night, can I tell y'all what happened this week, last week? We've been here 4.5 years, right? And there's a house across the parking lot where the back lot bumps comes up to our parking way. For four and a half years, when I come and I wave. The wife has come over with the dog at the guard. The man has never waved in 4.5 years. He refuses to wave. I understand by those who were here prior to that, he didn't wave to them either. Last week, Tuesday night, when I came to the church, he was walking the dog, and I do my usual. I waved. He did not wave back. I pulled in, I parked. When I parked and went to get my bag out of the trunk, he had walked to the backyard, and he waved. Oh, y'all don't get that like I get. He waved. I don't know what changed, but I did what I was supposed to do all these years, and I didn't get weary. I didn't say, well, forget about him. No, I did what I'm supposed to do, what you're supposed to do. We're supposed to love one another and watch what God would do. He waved. Yes, God. You know, when he waved, what happened for me? It kept hope alive. When he waved, you know, it brought peace to my soul. When he waved, I felt stronger. God, I'm just doing what you told me to do. It take a little while, but that's okay. Yes. He waved. And there's more to come. Because he started, because he didn't have to do it. He put the dog up, came to the backyard, and waved. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. So we have to believe. And then all of a sudden, the other thing that happens, next one, Sister Beverly says, we need to stop living in anxiety. One of the reasons that we're hurting and the things hurt is because we're anxious about all kinds of things. In Matthew 6:25, he said, therefore I say to you what? Take no thought for your life, what you should eat or what you should drink, not yet for your body, what you should put in it. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? We're running around and we got all kind of diets and we got all kind of this eat, that eat, don't eat. My Bible tells me if we bless it, we don't have to worry, we be thankful. Now, if he tells you something specific, do that. But we get so stressed about everything that don't go the right way. Bible says be anxious for nothing. Yeah. But in everything, what? In prayer and supplication, make your requests known. So now as you think through this thing of what's hurting you, all you got to do is tell Jesus. Yeah. Lord, I miss my mama. I miss my daddy. Lord, I have issues with my job. Lord, I'm just afraid it's not going to work. Lord, I fear that I'm not going to be able to provide for my family. I fear that I won't be able to do it. Lord, I don't want to go back to where I started from. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, I'm tired of being alone. Lord, I'm tired of this person I'm with because they just keep driving me. Oh, y'all know the story. Y'all got more opportunities and things that are going on that are causing you pain. Just tell God about it. Don't come tell the pastor. I can't fix it. All I'm going to do is pray for you. But what? You tell God about it. And when you tell God about it, then God will direct you. See, God's got somebody to listen just to you that's here on this earth. He works through other people. That's how God works. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Next slide, Sister Beverly. And then we're going to be done. We're going to be done. My last point. If you tell him about it, I know that Jesus will fix it. I don't know about you, but before I go through the points of what he said, I just reminded of this deacon that used to be at Second Baptist. And y'all know that song, what, by the canned spirit, fix it, Jesus, fix it like you said he would. There was something about Deacon Joe Bills where he would get up and say, just start singing that song. I didn't know him when I got there, but I know him still today, even though he's gone on the glory. When he starts singing, fix it, Jesus, like you said he would, he said, on my way home, there was something about the way he sang that song that you knew Jesus would fix it. And if you didn't know, you wanted to know what he knew, because he said, fix it, Jesus, like you said he would. And all of a sudden, he get to sweat, and all of a sudden, you see a glow around him, and he would keep singing, fix it, Jesus. And all of a sudden, he couldn't do nothing. He went from singing a song to praying, fix it, God, fix it, just fix it, just fix it, just fix it. And I used to sit there and say, I want to know that God will do it just like he know he'll do it. Because there was something about it that made you encouraged. Says fix it. Says I'll. What Jesus? I'll is Jesus. That's who. I don't want no confusion. I is Jesus. Yeah. Said I will fix it. Thank you, sister. Said what? Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." And he said, "What? I will give you rest." Next slide, Sister Beverly. Next slide, Sister Beverly. Well, rest. What is rest? Rest is this peace. Rest is joy. Rest is what? A freeness from suffering. Why? Because if you know Jesus got it, it's something different the way you go through something than when you go, when you don't know nobody's got your back. When you all by yourself, it's rough. But when you know somebody is there with you, it makes a difference. When I was single, I was all by myself. Things were a little different. After I got married, I knew one thing, if nobody else knew that, I got somebody to go through with me. I don't care what it is, what it is. I don't care what y'all do, what y'all say. I know who's by my side, and I ain't by myself. Then I had to learn, well, you know something? Didn't matter if she was there, because God is always there. And God began to say, there'll be times she won't be there, can't be there, but I'm always there. I'm the one who sent her there for you. And I said, thank you, Lord God. So now I'm never by myself. Never by myself. Well, look, behold what the word says about rest. Thank you, Sister Beverly. God has given us rest. God gave us rest. God anointed and proclaimed that we should have rest. Rest what is peace. Rest is joy. Rest is what? Long suffering. Left is meek. We sang that song, right? I've got my joy back. I got my peace back. I got my hope back. I got my strength back. If you don't believe that, go to Hebrews 4:1-4. It says what? Let us therefore fear lest a promise be left us what? Entering into his rest. God has promised us to enter into this place that we have nothing to worry about. I'm going to tell you, I would have lost my mind had it not been for my God. Yes. People go through things one time, two times, three times. I've gone through this thing. I would have lost my mind had I not known that God's got my back. Because that's not the way I was raised. You work, you do. And when you want to work, you can't work. But that's okay. But I would have lost my mind. But God said, enter into a season of rest. And because I enter into this season of rest, I've got that promise. God said, what? 6 days shall you labor, and the seventh is rest. Spiritually, you get in a place of rest in Jesus. And you don't have to worry about what? What takes place. Next thing we need to say, what? We got to do what he said. We got to make our 911 call. Look, too many of us don't want to call. We talk about it. We get frantic about it. And I ask people all the time, did you tell God about it? Well, you know, he already knows. No, wait a minute. Stop talking about it. He does already know. But God does not violate your free will. So if you don't tell him about it and tell him where your concerns are about it, he ain't going to move on it until you do. Why? Because he wants you to desire to be there. Oh, y'all don't believe me. Y'all don't believe me. Let me take y'all back to the days we came up. When a man saw somebody that he liked. Y'all, when we were single, y'all went out, y'all dated somebody. When a man saw somebody that caught his eye, what did he do? He went and told her. He made it known to her that he had an interest. Today it ain't like that. She comes and tells him, I got an interest. But something happens to communicate that it was made known. And once it's made known, the recipient of that inquiry got excited. Ooh. Ooh. With me now. They like me. Don't know nothing about me, but at least they did something to make it known. Now, once you got to know somebody, you make it known on a regular basis, don't you? If you married and you're not making your spouse know that what? You what? Like them over and over and over sometime, things get a little dull. If you got a partner or a friend that y'all supposed to be together, you need to make it known. Because if it don't, something gets in the middle. We friends, right? But you can't never, ever talk to me and respect my place and spaces. There's a problem. Say what? Make it known. So make your 911 call. It's in Philippians. It says what? Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication. What? With thanksgiving. Oh, that with thanksgiving. You need to be happy about it, excited about it, delighted about it. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all. You can't describe why you're so at peace with what you're going through except God. Because folks are jumping off of bridges. They're making mistake after mistake after mistake. Why? Because they don't have the peace of God. But when you got the peace of God, you change the environment that you come into. That's why I say every day we're blessed, what? To be a blessing. Every day, no matter who you meet, I'm willing to change the environment that I walk into. That's what God wants us to do. What? Shall keep your hearts and minds, what? Through Christ Jesus. You know, the other thing it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, what? Pray without ceasing. You might not be able to get down on your knees. You might not be able to clap your hand, but you can think, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, remember me. Lord, do this for me. Lord, provide for them. Lord, help them. Lord, do this. Whenever somebody come to your mind, you pray for them. Because you don't know what they're going through. People will say to me sometimes, you know, the other day I was praying for you. They don't know what I was going through, but when they tell me and I can line up, it's like, I was sitting there going through the, oh, woe is me. And I could feel the prayers. So all of a sudden that woe is me said, look, let me rise up and do what thus saith the Lord. So make your 911. Will you do that today? Will you make your 911 call? Oh, you ain't pressing the phone 911. You're calling Jesus. That's your 911. Will you do that? I'm willing to tell you. Matter of fact, I will guarantee if you make that call and tell God where you heard him, I know without a doubt he will change things for you. He will do something for you. And it's specifically for you. Come on. The next thing was just what? Watch Jesus fix it. Oh, you don't have to believe me. Look at what the word. And this day, the Acts 16 and 18 says, and this day she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit. There was this woman who was possessed with this spirit that kept bothering Paul and kept running around saying all these crazy things. She was full of the demonic spirit, and Paul had had enough. And Paul said what? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And she was calm from that moment, because he said what? In the name of Jesus. He called it the name of Jesus, and God fixed it. He not only fixed it for Paul, he really fixed it for her, because all of a sudden now she wasn't crazy no more. All of a sudden now she was at peace. I don't know about you. Some of you in this room, you've been sick and so sick and feeling sad, and all of a sudden somebody prayed for you, and in the name of Jesus, God fixed it. And it didn't take long. Some of you had to labor a little while longer, but didn't God fix it? I know what I'm talking about. I've heard the testimony. I've witnessed it for myself. When I was 10 years old, I know what God did for me. You can't tell me. The doctor said your heart was the worst thing he had ever seen in his life. When I sat down on the porch and I said, God, you got to fix it. I know about you. Will you take care of my heart? And when I went back, the doctor said, I don't know what happened, but your heart is normal. And I've been living ever since, 52 years, and I'm still here. I ain't got no issues with my heart. Everything is all right. That's what God will do. And over and over, I can't tell you all of them. We ain't got that much time, but God will fix it. That's the God that we serve. He'll fix it. If you don't believe me, look at what he says in Luke 4:35. So what? Jesus rebuked him. Another crazy man said, I ain't got nothing to do with you. Jesus rebuked him, said, hold thy peace and come out of him. So what? And when the devil had thrown him into the midst, he came out of him and did not hurt the man. You ain't never lost your mind, have you? That's all right. That's good for you. But I can remember in my 20s, I lost my mind. I told you last week, right? I was right around into college, right? I had packed up my car, ready to walk away, go out west, just get a factory job somewhere. Don't tell nobody till I got there. I had lost my mind. But God sent a phone call. Why did I go in and answer the phone? It wasn't cell phone, so they couldn't keep up with you. It was a landline phone. But some said, pick up the phone. And my friend said, something's wrong. He said, I don't know what, but something's not right. I'm coming over. God. God told him to call me. God told him I was not in my right mind. I was checking out. But God told him. And in life, that's what God does for us. Just when you're ready to give up, God shows up. He'll fix it. He'll fix it. Watch Jesus fix it. And then all we got to do is we got to do what the word says. The last point today is do what God says. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them, what, shall have mercy. We got to confess our sins. We got to confess our shortcomings. Now, let me explain something. Doubt is a sin. I ain't talking about the sins of murder and all that. But if you doubt God, that's a sin. To doubt who he is. So if we know Christ, we need to stop doubting Christ. Because when we stop doubting, now we walk in victory. We walk in faith. We walk in what he has. He's given us the power to overcome the world. You might not know it, but I'm telling you, I've seen what God will do. I wish I knew what a doctor was. I told Sister Rogers there's no healing for MS. But when they took the MRI and said, hey, it's normal, well, whatever the term they use, it meant that it was all right. The doctor, the body just does that sometimes. No, the body didn't just do that. We did what God said. We prayed, we anointed with oil, and watch what God do. And there it was, 3 days later, y'all. 3 days later, it was normal. So don't tell me what God won't do. Next thing we need to understand what it says in James. James 5:6 says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that ye may what? Be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've seen it up in here. While somebody was in the hospital, they sent a message to somebody. They stood in intercession. And while we went to prayer, one or two saw what was going on, and we wasn't even at the hospital. We prayed, and God did the healing, and we were all up in here. Didn't even know they were in the hospital. And God didn't just, okay, I healed her. He gave revelation. People saw exactly what was going on. Only God will do those things. That's why we serve a living God. That's why we know who we serve and who we go after and who we trust. Because God will fix it. Last thing you have to understand, there's some other things that we fight against. If you go to the book of Acts, in what, 18, 9, 11, this take Paul. Y'all know where Paul was, right? In the book of Acts, Paul was in prison, right? He was in prison. He was in prison. But say, well, at midnight, Paul and Silas, they did what? They prayed. They told God about it, and God fixed it. Said what? There was an earthquake, and what? They were let free. The bonds and the chains fell off. But yeah, they didn't walk out. Why? Because it wasn't about getting free. It was about helping somebody else. All of a sudden, the man who was over there was about to kill himself. Say, wait, do yourself no harm. We're still here. Yeah. And on that night, that man and his family were saved. Sometimes when we just walk in the will and the love of Christ, lives will be changed. People will be delivered. People will be healed. People will be set free. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. That wasn't the only time. Go to Acts 28 and 8 and 9, 8 to 10. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and of blood. Y'all understand, Paul was on his way to meet Festus. He was in chains. They stopped at this island, and they thought Paul was a criminal, right? Paul was a criminal. So they sitting there, and they thought all of a sudden something happened. They went, we need to watch this man because he's a criminal. He's going to trial. Paul was sitting by the fire, and all of a sudden the viper, he bit Paul, and they said, oh, he's going to die now because the viper got it. And Paul didn't do nothing but shake it off. And when he didn't die, that whole community, all those people said, no, this is an anointed man of God. We're going to now say, guess what, Paul, because you're so anointed, we want you to come into the house, heal his father. We want you to come into the house, pray for all the sick. We want you to come into the house and save our soul. He said, Paul, because he was obedient to the word, what? He defied what people say. I come to tell you today, not only me, but you, we defy what the world said. The world said we ought not be here. The world said we should not be in Hoffman Estate. The world said this thing is falling apart. But I declare today, it's not falling apart. Because everywhere we go, we make a difference. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't see yourself in that way. But if you love Jesus, that's just who you are. You're a way maker. You're a miracle worker. You're a promise keeper. You're a light in the darkness. My God, that's who he is. And because we love God, that's who we are. I'm just amazed. I'm always amazed how you can meet strangers and they tell you their life. Sometimes God sends you to them in their darkest hour when they're faced with the situation. And you say, I pray for you. Thank you, Sister Nita. Thank you, Sister Nita, that you testify because they know who you are, that all of a sudden they say, look, now we will pray with you. My God, oh, anybody had a boss that would pray with them? Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Somebody, because in other words, what? They don't want you to be here. And then all of a sudden, I need you to understand how Jesus will fix it. Next slide, I want you to take a look at this. Take a look at this. Take a look at this. Most of us, didn't y'all like have caterpillars crawl around on y'all? When I was a kid, we didn't catch caterpillars. We left them on the leaf. Okay, that's just what we did. But this is what happens with us. When we don't know Christ, we're the caterpillar crawling around. The caterpillar, you know, that's protection. You know, when a caterpillar's in danger, guess what? They turn the color of the leaf, right? And when they turn the color of the leaf, the birds don't know who they are. So they're protected. That's how our life is. When we don't know Jesus, we're still protected. We got a brain to do some logical things that we need to do. We know how to protect our house. We know to look around the corner. We know not to put ourselves in danger. But then there comes a difference that when God wants to change us, and so all of a sudden when we go through this transformation, there is a painful process at times. The caterpillar says, look, there's something more for me. And he's looking at this butterfly saying, you've changed. But what the caterpillar is not saying is he's the reason that the butterfly is there. Because another caterpillar went into the cocoon and it was spun tight. And when it's spinning tight, they're just in these cramped quarters. And every now and then when we go through something, we get in cramped quarters and we don't know what we're going to do. And when we get in that cramped quarter, it's not comfortable, y'all. It's not a good thing to see. But when we get in that cramped quarter and we just allow to call Jesus, let me tell you what happened. Because there are butterflies, there are caterpillars out there that have a specific purpose of beauty. And when they get spun into the cocoon, there is no blood in them. But if you know anything about the monarch butterfly, that when the caterpillar gets in the cocoon, they bring blood up into the cocoon. So the blood starts feeding on what the caterpillar had. And all of a sudden, when it hatched, you get this butterfly that had no blood, that's now covered with blood, and now they can fly. But look at the difference. I would love to have a butterfly land on my hand. Can I be still enough for the butterfly to just sit on my hand? And we used to catch them and put them in jars. Now you can go see it. But that butterfly was transformed, not conformed, because the caterpillar was conformed to do the work. The butterfly was a product of the transformation. That's who you are. You've been transformed from death unto life. You've been transformed from a nobody to a somebody. You've been transformed from what somebody don't care to God cares all about you. That means God will fight every single battle that you got. And when we go to battle, military, they train their people, don't be afraid of nothing. Guess what? God has not given us a spirit of fear. I ain't afraid of nothing. I can't be if I go in Jesus' name. Right. Why? Because I can sing that song, Jesus will fix it. I can sing the new song, tell me where it hurts, and I'll fix it. Anybody know that Jesus will fix it? Yeah. Did we not hear how God fixed it today? Up in here, you heard testimonies. I was in this place, and I was getting a little weary, but God did a few things, and all of a sudden, God fixed it. Today, I want you to know I'm trying not to get too excited, but I can't help myself. I see God fix it in my life, and that's all I can tell you about is my life and what I read. But when I listen to what he does in your life, and you go out and tell somebody else about your life, and they tell them that it's all about Jesus, I watch how he changes things. So today, yeah, I know we're supposed to be butterflies, right? We're supposed to be at peace. We're supposed to be life changers. We're supposed to be encouragers. We're supposed to be laborers in the vineyard. If you go read in the book of Proverbs, it said we ought to be ants. They just work. They just work. We ought to be about what? Our Father's business. So today, will you tell Jesus about it? And you know he'll fix it. You know he'll fix it. Before we go on, we're just going to pray right now. And as we pray, tell God about it. Nobody else needs to know where your hurt is. Just tell God about it. We know it's there. Somebody did you wrong. Something did you wrong. But I know if you would take a stand for what's right, no matter what people say is wrong, God will fix it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. We thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we can come unto you, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord God, knowing that you will fix it, Jesus. We thank you now, Lord God, and we pray a move of your spirit in this place, Lord God, that everyone who has a hurt, Lord God, would tell you, Jesus. As they tell you, Lord God, we know that you are God of wisdom, a God of mighty, a God of mercy, and a God of compassion. You already see it, Lord God. You're standing at the ready, waiting and wanting, Lord God, to shower down your blessings. So, Lord, hear our cry today. Then, Father God, move and direct we, your people, to do what you tell us to do, that people would be released from the bondage of the pain. They would be released from the effects of the pain and that they can walk in victory, Lord God. Now, Father, we thank you. We worship you in the name of Jesus, and we count it done. And the people of God said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. We come now, and there might be someone who has not known this love of Jesus. And we extend an invitation to you to accept this relationship with the God of heaven and all earth. You might know Jesus and be looking for a place of worship. We invite you, if the Lord moves you, to unite with us here where we can carry out his purpose. But more importantly, we thank you. And we just pray that the Lord would bless you. Is there one today? So touch. as they prepare for our tithes and offering is their one today. No one else you can do the things you do. Take my wrong is their one today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And make it right. All I need is a touch from you.
From a master and king. All I need is a touch from you.
Touch from you. Amen. As we prepare for our tithes and offering, Sister Bria is holding a tithes and offering. Sister Naomi has the love offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ask that you come and give as God has directed you. In the need of prayer, when I call you, Lord, I know you're there. Reach your hand out from heaven
and
pull me through. All I need is a single touch, a touch, Master's hand. All I need is a touch from you. If you touch me, I'll change your
mind.
If you touch me, I shall live again. Take my wrong and make it. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for these thy blessings that you have provided, Lord God. We pray that you would press it down, multiply it, Lord God, that it would be used for the spreading of the gospel throughout the land and country and the meeting of the needs of your people. Father, we just say thank you for you you have made a way. Thank you, Lord, for the place that you've set us to be and the work that you've given us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Oh, yeah. Touch me. All I need is a touch. Touch me. Touch me. I tell you all the time, if you heard something, do what?
Yeah.
Tell somebody. Share it with somebody. If you didn't hear anything, tell me, and I'll go to God with it. Amen? Amen. We thank you for all of our visitors. And we thank you. Today we're on our way to have fellowship with our seniors.
Amen.
Have fellowship with our seniors. We're taking them out to dinner so they know that what? We love them. Amen. Amen, amen. Sister Sheila said about game night, and we'll have movie nights, and we're going to have a couples event and some single events. We are working in that way that what? We know that we are family.
Amen.
Now, when the summer hits, and y'all prepare yourselves, it's going to be gardening time. So if you like to work in the garden, we're asking you to start preparing now because we'll be planting by the end of April. I think probably by the end of April, first part of May, depending on how the weather works. And it's a blessing. The food pantry was just excited to get fresh food.
Amen.
And can I share with y'all, Sister Kathy was here a few weeks ago. She said all her life she'd been looking for somebody to come and do something with her land. She lives a couple blocks from here. She said, if y'all got the people, y'all can just plant anything you want on my land. I don't want none of it give to the food pantry.
My God.
Now, we don't have enough people to do that. But I'm praying God's going to send somebody to do it.
Yeah.
You know that what? We can make a difference in the community.
Amen.
Every single day. And I don't know about you, but when you do something nice for somebody, it feels good. And we don't just do it locally. We make a conscious effort that 10% of our giving that we do goes internationally.
Amen.
We're concerned with everybody. That's what God would want. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed this week. Know that God loves you. Whatever it is, just tell God about it. Just tell God about it. Just tell God about it. Thank you, my brother. You don't like to be put out, but I just, it's a special friend. When I moved to Illinois in 92, I found a church that I